Brother Doug Martin, evangelist, 53 years, and I want you to welcome him. I went to Tennessee Temple a long time ago now, and Brother Doug was there, and he was just finishing up and started out, and God's used him all around the world. Brother Doug Martin, God bless you. Just mind the Holy Ghost, brother. I'm sorry. We'll see. We need to get that lapel mic for you.
No, I don't need it. I don't need it unless you want me to have it. I got a big mouth anyway. Well, it's good to be here today. When you're old as some of us are, it's good to be anywhere. I remember several weeks ago I was preaching, and I have been for a long time now, and my wife was with me. Is this thing on? Song, got it. And I was preaching, and she was sitting back in the back crying. And one of the deacons came by and said, "I notice you crying. You must really like to hear your husband preach." She said, "Well, that's not it. If you've heard that sermon as many times as I have, you'd cry too." So, I hope that's not the case in all of our situations. It's been a good week. Say amen right there. Somewhere down the road, somewhere back yonder, in time, God put it on a man's heart to have camp meeting. And you don't have a meeting of this caliber on French fried rabbit tracks and wean pudding. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of work, and a lot of money to be able to have a meeting like this. Say amen right there. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord dealing with Brother Billy's heart about camp meeting. It's needed all over this country. I first got involved in camp meetings in 1978 down in Cocoa, Florida. I don't know where Brother Billy was still pastoring there at Bemis Road in Valdosta, Georgia, but that's when I first got acquainted with camp meetings. I remember Camp Zion over in Mississippi. That's the only one I knew about. And from that day to now, camp meetings have been spread all over America. And I thank the Lord for it. Most of us come to these meetings because our spiritual tank has become empty. Amen. A lot of times we try to run on 87 octane, but I'm afraid that just don't get the job done. Amen. And I figure a lot of times the reason that happens is because you put 87 in a lot of cars, all you'll have is knocking and banging. Amen. That's about what happened in most Baptist churches when you run on 87 octane, a bunch of bumping and knocking and rattling going on. And a lot of us need to come to a meeting like this to get some 100 proof. Amen. That'll help you down the road, friend. And I appreciate the good preaching this week. We've had enough preaching already to save the world. Amen. And what I got to say ain't going to help you a whole lot. If you ain't got help already, you probably won't get none. Amen. And I tell you, it's good to be in the house of God. I'm going to give you just two or three little things, and I'm going to sit down and hush. We're going to go eat a hot dog, a hamburger, or whatever they got in the back there. You're probably more interested in than a hot dog and hamburger than you are me preaching. Say amen right there. You know, Baptists know more about grease than they do about grace. Amen. Don't know a whole lot about that, but they know about grace, brother. Amen. You have a meeting and have a Baptist in the church to show up. Yes, sir. So I want to give you just a couple of thoughts. We'll be quick and at least try to be, and we'll go back and have fellowship and come back tonight, rest a little bit, come back tonight and have a good time around things of God. I want to tell you now, I've been hearing preaching all my life, ever since I got saved, June the 7th, 1966, 6:45 on a Tuesday night down in a place called Booger Bottom. I was the biggest booger down there, and God showed up, and I got saved. Amen. I didn't get religion. I didn't get Baptist. I got S-A-V-E-D. Amen. I was like old Simon Peter, brother. He started going down, and he cried to the Lord and said, "Lord, save me." Amen. I cried the same thing that about 53 years ago. And I'm glad I'm saved and still saved. Hadn't lost it one time. Amen. I've been recapped 4 or 5 times, but I never have lost my salvation. Amen. And I tell you, I got a little recap last night. How about you? Amen. Yeah. Now, if you don't know anything about God, you know God showed up last night. Yes, say amen right there. Amen. If you're acquainted with the King, brother, when the King walks in, you ain't got to tell nobody. Everybody saved and belong to Him knows it. Amen. And I tell you, I had a good time in the Lord last night listening to the man of God preach. Now, if you got your Bible, real quick now, if you'll turn to Luke chapter number 24, I want to just make a couple of statements and we'll go to the house. Amen. Luke chapter number 24. Thank you, Brother Billy, for letting me have just a few minutes here this morning. Luke chapter number 24. Now, if you got your place, say amen. 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 I hope some of you turning your Bible to Luke chapter number 24. You're probably going to need these little things I want to give you this morning. The Bible said in verse 13, Luke chapter 24 and verse number 13, if you look in your Bible, I want you to travel with me on this journey now as we travel down from Jerusalem unto a place called Emmaus. In Luke chapter 24, verse number 13, here's what the Bible says. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together, now notice that, and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near. And they went with Him. Boy, you can't go with a better person than the Lord. Amen. You couldn't go with a better friend than the Lord Jesus. And here He is now. He's on the road to Emmaus with these two disciples who are traveling from Jerusalem down to Emmaus. The Bible said, while their eyes were holding that they should not know Him, He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another? As you walk, now notice, and are sad. And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto him, are they only a stranger in Jerusalem? He said, hey, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Do you know not what all these things has happened? Are you not aware of what's going on in Jerusalem? Are you not a stranger in the land? Now, notice what happened here. Travel with me now. Are thou not a stranger in Jerusalem? Has thou not known the things which come to pass there in these days? And He said unto them, what things? What things? Jesus said, what things are you talking about? They had all just happened to Him, but He wants them to tell Him what they're talking about. Amen. That'd be a good thing for us to do as Baptists, is to realize a lot of times in our communications and our reasoning together with one another, if we quit telling everybody else about what's going on and simply tell Him, that He wanted to know, what things are you talking about? What are these communications and why are you reasoning together all these things? Now, notice with me now. Go with me. And He said unto them, what things? And they said unto Him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And they began to tell Him what it was. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. Now here we find on this road to Emmaus, we find two disciples traveling from Jerusalem back home to Emmaus. And as they travel down this road, they're concerned about what happened. I see, first of all, in these verses, I find here in verse number 7, or verse number 17, I find some disappointed saints. I find disappointed saints. What are you saying, preacher? Listen, they had left the church. They left Jerusalem. They left the disciples there in Jerusalem. They're going back home now, and they are traveling down the road to Emmaus, and they're disappointed in what had happened in Jerusalem. What had happened there? Jesus had been crucified. They had saw the crucifixion. They had been there when they put him in a barred tomb, and they're sad now, and they're disappointed, and they're headed home, and all hope is gone. Well, you're saying, preacher, hey, here we find some disappointed saints. I find as we travel across this country, I find a lot of people in church houses and churches are disappointed. You may be disappointed in the choir, or maybe disappointed in the preacher, or disappointed at another church member or somebody, but I find a lot of folks in our day are disappointed with what's going on. I'm not satisfied with everything I hear and see. If you listen to Fox or CNN or ever who you listen to, I get discouraged too. I get disappointed. I'm saved on my way to heaven, but everything don't run just like I want it to. And it causes us a lot of times to become disappointed saints. A lot of you men that pastor, I've never had that privilege to do that, but I know a lot of times you get disappointed when church members leave and you don't know why they leave, and you have friends that forsake you and you don't know why they left you, and you have people that you know and love and appreciate and they disappoint you. I tell you, we're living today in a disappointed society, and a lot of times we that are saved, we're just as guilty as a world that doesn't know God. We get disappointed also. And here we find these two on the road to Emmaus. They're disappointed saints. And you'll notice here that in their disappointment, they're having a sad conversation. What are you saying, preacher? Look at it. The Bible said here they use two words. And Jesus questioned them about that. He says to them, while you're walking on the road to Emmaus, I noticed you was commuting together and you was reasoning together about all these things had gone on. I'm interested in that little word, reason and commune. Commune means to talk among each other. They were conversating between one another. They were commuting one to another. And then the Bible said they were reasoning together. Have you ever had the privilege to reason things? A lot of times I try to sit down and I hear things and see things, and I try to reason them out. Why did that happen? Why did that take place? What in the world is going on? That's what these disciples were doing. They were trying to figure out, why did they crucify Jesus? They was looking for Jesus to bring the kingdom in, and now they are trying to figure out what happened. They were reasoning among themselves, talking among themselves. They were asking the question, why? Why did they crucify him? Why did the priest have him crucified? Why did all of this go on? Why? Why? I have it asked me all the time. Why do certain things take place? Why does my son get on drugs? And why do my children leave home? And why does things happen? And why does friends leave? And why does people do certain things? I have that asked me all the time. I had a man the other day, just the other day I talked to him. I've been trying to talk to this boy about the Lord. He's had some real bad problems, and he was telling me the other day, he came in and said, "Hey, preacher, I need to talk to you just a minute." I said, "All right, what do you need?" He said, my son, he's out on drugs again, and he's drinking again, and they got him locked up again. He said, "What in the world is going on?" And I said, "Listen, let me tell you what's happened to him. He's using a substitute to try to fill a void in his heart that only God can fill." See, that's why all this stuff is going on. People are trying to fill themselves and fill that void and fill that emptiness with something that'll never fill it. Amen. You'll never feel something in your soul, son, till you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, till you get born again. He won't need all that stuff. Amen. He'll fill your heart full. And we have a lot of folks who've joined churches and been baptized who never got saved, and the Word of God doesn't fill their heart. Listen, I learned a long time ago, sin will keep you from this Bible, or this Bible will keep you from sin. Amen. Amen. It's according to what you fill your heart with. On the inside of every man, an old Indian proverb, sat down one day by a fire, and he gave him a proverb. He said, "Inside a man is a black dog and a white dog." And he said, "I know which one of them dogs you feed is going to dominate the other." And I tell you, that's so true. That's why we need meetings like this. That's why we need to go to the house of God. That's why we need the Word of God. That's why we need prayer. That's why we need the Holy Ghost to direct us and fill us and help us and encourage us. Why? Because we need to feel that thing on the inside that feeds that white dog to go on and do right and live for God. I'm telling you, we're living in a day when the questions are always asked, why? Here we find these two on the road to Emmaus. They are having a sad conversation. I asked my wife the other day, we was talking, and I said, "Honey, why does it seem like that God doesn't answer our prayers?" You ever ask yourself that? Sometimes I said, "Well, how do you know if God answered your prayer?" Pray about something, don't tell nobody what it is, and see if God answers it. That'll just about tell you where your standing is with God. And she replied and said, "Because of sin in our life." And boy, that's so true, isn't it? If we regard iniquity in our heart, what's the Bible say? God will not hear us. We need to come clean with God. And I tell you, I have asked me almost every day of my life why certain things happen. Why? Here we find that Jesus walks over to this couple and said, "Why are you reasoning all these things together?" They were commuting. We see here, we find they're having a sad, sad conversation. Let me give you the second thing. Not only do we see a disappointed saints and we see them having a sad conversation, but I see here a disguised Savior. What are you saying, preacher? Hey, he was there all the time. He heard what they said. He knew what they said. He wanted them to tell him why they were reasoning and communing about what had happened in Jerusalem. Amen. He disguised himself. In other words, the Bible said here in these verses, and you can find it in verse 16 through 18, he disguised himself in another form, and their eyes were holding that they didn't know who he was. Now look up this way. You know, us Baptists are real bad about wanting God to do things like we want him to do it. Say amen. We're bad about that. But God doesn't always work like we would like for Him to work. Sometimes He appears in a different form. Sometimes He doesn't just show up like you think He needs to show up. And here in these verses we find that Jesus hears them. He sees their sadness. I mean, the sun's quit shining. The birds ain't singing. The stars have gone out. I mean, it's a cloudy day. I mean, hey, it's doubt on every hand. I mean, they don't believe in man. There's no hope for us. And Jesus hears their conversation, and He walks out and says to them, "What are you talking about?" And the Bible said their eyes were holding that they should not know Him. He disguised Himself. Sometimes God shows up in different ways. He may show up in a testimony. Have you ever been in the house of God and some old saint of God stands up and gives a word for the Lord? And it blesses your heart. Amen. Have you ever been to meetings, friend, when the preacher preached and the power of God was there, and I mean everything that went over your head, and you didn't get nothing? Amen. Sometimes God shows up in a testimony. There was a little old mountain woman years ago. She didn't have but one testimony. She'd stand up in a service, and hey, didn't nobody have to ask for testimony time. She'd stand up and clap her little old hands and get out in the middle and dance around and say, "It's me and Jesus. It's me and Jesus. It's me and Jesus." That was her testimony. Folks got blessed of that. You know, a lot of times it may be a testimony that keeps you from being discouraged, or reaches down and picks you up out of that valley of discouragement and puts some joy in your heart.
Amen.
It's me and Jesus. If you got me and Jesus, that's all you need, honey. I guarantee you that. Amen. If you got Jesus, that's all you need.
Yes, sir.
Me and Jesus. Me and Jesus. That was her testimony. Hey. Sometimes God will show up in a testimony. Sometimes God will show up in a song.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Back in the days of David, when the king got discouraged, you know who he'd send for? He sent for David, the little shepherd boy, have David come play on his harp. I mean, music makes a major difference in a service. Amen. I've come to church sometimes so low I could crawl on the pew. Now you probably never have, you probably too spiritual for that. You probably just too close to God. But I've been in the house of God sometimes, son, when I tell you I could crawl on the pew and somebody sang a song, and I tell you it'll lift me up, lift my spirit up, put some 100 proof in my heart and make me want to run for God. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you folks, how many of you folks here last night when that brother took off a running cross there?
Amen.
You know what been building all week? That fuel been poured in there a little bit every night. Amen. And last night it got running over and that 100 proof kicked in and he took off. Amen. Probably some of you need some of that.
Yes.
I felt like said, "Give me a swallow of that." Amen. Praise God. Give me a drink of that. Amen. What are you saying? Sometimes God disguises himself and shows up in a manner that we didn't think God'd show up. Hey. Sometimes we get on the road to Emmaus like these two disciples. And we're disappointed and we don't know which way to go. And all of a sudden, out of the shadow steps the Lord Jesus in a disguised form to help us along the way. Now, let me hurry. We see disappointed saints. We see a disguised Savior. And we see in verse number 26 and 27, He delivers a sermon. Now, you look at it. The Bible said, beginning at Moses and the prophets, He expounded to them all about Himself. He preached a sermon to them. I mean, sometimes the best time for you to be in the house of God is when you're discouraged. Amen. You need to hear the word of God, son. Amen. I mean, we find a delivered sermon. He expounded to them. He told them who He was. And do you get it? They still don't know who He is. They still don't know. We see a delivered sermon. Then we see something else. We see a desire of their souls in verse 29. I don't have time to read all that. They walked from Jerusalem down to Emmaus. It's some 7-8 miles. And while they're walking along the way, Jesus is preaching to them and expounding to him who he is. And I don't have time to go into all of that. And when they got down to where they live in Emmaus, they had a desire of their soul. You know what they said? They said, Mr. Stranger, would you come and abide with us? They constrained him to come in and abide with them. They wanted him to come in and fellowship with them. Amen. Now listen, we're living in a day-to-day when if there's anything we need to do, we need to constrain Jesus to meet with us. Oftentimes we have services and God ain't nowhere around. Amen. Everything is dead and dry and plucked up by the roots, and you couldn't get a holy grunt out of a bunch of Christians to save your life. Amen. It's just dead and dry. But what our need is, we need to constrain him and ask Jesus to come in and meet with us. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It makes a difference when Jesus meets with you. Makes a difference. When he's in our presence, it always makes a difference. But he's not going to just bust in on us unless he's asked to come in. Lord Jesus, would you please come and help us and meet with us and abide with us and come in and fellowship with us. Lord, we need you. We see the desire of their soul. They begged him to come in and fellowship with them. Let me give you the next little thing. They had a divine surprise. Verse number 30. When they got home, they got back down to Emmaus. The Bible said they took time to break bread. Now, let me ask you something. They'd been traveling 7-8 miles. They'd been up in Jerusalem for a while. They're back home now, and they asked this stranger to come in and eat with them, and the right hospitality would be to have a meal with him. Now, where'd they get the bread? Where'd they get the meat? I wondered, did Miss Kalofas bake the bread? Did they kill the fatted calf or the lamb? Or where did they get their meal? She either had to fix it or had to go borrow it or buy it. So they get the meal. And they sat down at the little table. Picture with me now. Jesus is sitting there. They still don't know who he is. They think he's just a stranger. They didn't even recognize who he was when he told them who he was. And they're sitting there now, fixing to break bread. And I suppose Mr. Kalofas said to this stranger, "Mr. Stranger, would you ask the blessing on this little meal?" And I suppose Jesus, they all bowed their head and he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven." And Miss Kalofas reached on there and kicked her husband and said, "Honey, I've heard that voice before." And the Bible said, "Beam me up, Scotty." He was gone. What are you saying? They had a divine surprise. They didn't know who he was, only they heard him say, "Our Father," and he vanished out of their sight. We see a departing Savior in verse number 31. He was gone. Now, that ain't the end of the story. Here's the end. The Bible said, I don't even know if they finished eating their meal. They said one to another, "We must go back up to Jerusalem and tell those disciples there that he's alive." He's not dead. He arose from the grave. He's alive this morning. Amen. He was alive in that day. Now, they just walked 7-8 miles down the road. They just turned right around and walked 7-8 miles back. And when he got up to Jerusalem, you know who was already there? He was there.
Amen.
He was there. Already there. Here we find some disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. And when it all began, they were empty. When the story ends, they're full. You may have come in here this week empty as a barrel. You had nothing on the inside that motivated you, that helped you, that encouraged you, that did nothing for you. I mean, you was at the bottom, friend. And now, here we are on Thursday morning, and we've heard preaching all week and singing all week and praying all week. We've seen God move and God stir, and we've seen the Word of God take effect. Hey, are you like you were when you first got here? I want to say, I ain't. What are you saying, preacher? Why? I've been on that road to Emmaus, and now I'm back up at Jerusalem. Hey, I can tell them, hey, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Pray, Lord, you'd help us now. Pray you'd bless the preacher tonight. Pray you'd bless the Rochester family. Bless us this afternoon. Give us that which we need. Bless the food, the fellowship, and all that goes on. Bless Brother Billy. Give him wisdom in this meeting. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.